Radio. My name is Michelle Price, and I'm coming to you from the Third Coast of Houston, Texas today. Are you ready to learn, put into action, and reap the result of laser-focused ideas, knowledge, and your values for your business? Well, that's what we do here. You know, our featured guest today, well, really, it is a joint segment. Yes, Don Cooper and myself have decided to bring back one of our more popular topic combinations, sales and social media. Okay, it is time to bring on. I almost feel like I need one of those Johnny Carson lead-up sound cues. Time to bring on our fabulous, wonderful, smart, savvy, the sales heretic, Don Cooper.
Good morning, Michelle. Good morning. what a great introduction. I love that.
You know, this morning, all of a sudden, I'm feeling like, well, and here's what it is. I've been working in 2014 for the radio show, and I've been lining out a completely new timeline. And I've been thinking about the things that would bridge one segment to another, and I'm going to be getting some great music cues to do that. And so in my head over here, my mind is going, now here's where you could play.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. You know, I think more people need to have fun in business. I'm seeing too many folks get serious.
Yes, I agree. If it's not fun, I ain't doing it.
And, you know, oddly enough, John, that was something that my son's father used to tell me, and I was learning so many things with him years ago. And, you know, somewhere along the line, we get intense and we forget that and we set it aside, and then some of us remember to pick it back up again. I think we need to make that a point that we need to remind one another, are you having fun as you're delivering today?
Absolutely. There's a lot of value in having fun. There's a lot of business value in having fun. People like doing business with companies that are fun. Britt Beamer did a study for American Demographics magazine about a decade ago, and he found that 70.1% of respondents would switch vendors if the new vendor was more fun to do business with.
Wow, that sounds like a whole segment on itself. All right, so I'm putting everyone on point, because I see Stephanie still on the switchboard, and I can't tell with all these mobile listeners who tune in today, because sometimes it's hard to tell which one is Ian. Sometimes it comes up all ones, and sometimes it comes up his number. But all right, you two are, you've been given a heads up. Be thinking about how you're going to talk about fun in your next segment.
All right.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about, because this is the third year that we've done a year-end conversation around sales, and I see similarities, and I see us also being real conscious of how to, of what's changed, what's different, so that we're being real agile. But there seems to be that core thread that happens every fourth quarter for some companies or year in for others, then I'm wondering, why is it as people, why do we need that reminder every year of what we need to be doing so that we're going to get what we want out of the last quarter sales for the year?
Well, not everyone does, actually. A lot of people do. I do. You do. Many people do. Some people, though, are just sort of naturally internally motivated. They have their own internal clock, their own internal calendar, and they can just kind of feel this as they go along. They don't need somebody else to come around and point out, by the way, it's September now, where are you in your sales? They just already know. They keep a sort of running tab as they go. And that's a hard concept for people like you and I to grasp, because we don't think that way. We don't feel that way. Our brains don't work the same way, which is all right. All our brains work differently. The question is, how do you make use of what your strengths are, and how do you compensate for what your weaknesses are? And so that's the point of a show like this, or having an outside reminder like this, say, hey, this is now September, where are you in your sales? For those of us who don't have that internal clock and internal calendar, that external reminder is really powerful for keeping us on point.
You know, one of the things that I'm noticing that's really different for me, because that's really the only perspective I can come from, and I'm hoping that through listening to our stories and our experiences, people will start to ask questions for themselves as well, is that this is the first time, Don, that I have been working on what I'm going to do for the radio show and business the next year this early. I actually started, what was it, June?
Right.
And I'm noticing that I am not only laying out the strategy and looking where I need to make some changes, I'm able to look at, you know, because some people would say, well, your year's only half over. How do you know what you want to do? Well, I'm already starting to see a pattern, and I'm already starting to notice, well, here's what I'd like to have more of next year. So why wouldn't I start want to be looking at how can I be lining up what I need to deliver that next year? Why would I wait till December or January?
Exactly. The further out you can plan, the better your results are going to be. So if all you're doing is focusing on right here, right now, what do I need to do this moment, you're never going to set the strategy that Stephanie was talking about earlier long-term for your business. And that's really where your biggest success is going to come from. When you can do long-term planning, long-term strategizing, that's what's going to get you the best results for your business. But you've got to get away from the day-to-day enough to be able to look that far into the future.
You know, you bring something up in that last part of your reply that I think a lot of times we don't give enough credit to, and that is giving us the room or the space, because that's what I'm noticing is being helpful for me, is giving my mind the room and the space to be able to not just lay it out, but to let some of it just kind of sit there. And I'll ask myself questions, you know, every time I look at it. And then what happens, Don, then what happens is as I'm out and about doing the everyday things that I do in business, people will say, you know, I was just reading about blah, 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 and that was the very daggum answer I had been looking for.
Yep. When you allow your mind to wander away from the things that are normally occupying it, you free up your mind to focus its energies on all kinds of other things, especially problems, issues, goals that you don't normally devote time to.
So what would you say then, since we're talking about sales and social media to boost revenue in this year end, what would be some of those biggest myths around selling in the fourth quarter we'd want to be conscious of and give ourselves a little room to start thinking about how we can close those gaps?
Well, the single biggest myth is that you can't sell in the fourth quarter. There's this idea that once the fourth quarter rolls around, people are too focused on the holidays and family and parties and everything else to really be focused on business. And so a lot of people use that as an excuse to give up on their sales efforts in the fourth quarter. And that's an absolute myth. People are still buying stuff in the fourth quarter. And keep in mind that your fourth quarter might be your prospect's second quarter. So just because there are holidays on the calendar doesn't mean everybody stops working. It might mean certain days, certain weeks, people are harder to get a hold of, but there's always issues like that throughout the year. It's never easy to get a hold of prospects. It's never easy to command their attention. So the trick is to recognize how this mindset can set in really easily, because it's an excuse for the results that we're not getting.
And, you know, the thing that I find really interesting about that is when I start catching myself, yes, there goes the arm in the air, I catch myself doing it too. And it's funny because the more I read and listen and learn from Mark Bowden about our primitive brain, the easier it is for me to kind of stop those bad habits in the moment.
Sure. Yeah, recognizing where those habits come from make it a lot easier to address them and correct them.
So most people tend to, they talk about how, well, you know, it's so busy, or we're doing year end, or, you know, I'm having to travel for the holidays, or like you said, people will make excuses that really aren't any different than any other time of year. We have holidays in all the other quarters. We have, you know, family issues in all the other quarters. We have a hard time getting a hold of people in all the other quarters. What would you suggest, besides telling people to not use that as an excuse, what's been an activity that's helped you stay fresh in the fourth quarter?
To stay fresh, what I actually do is look back. I look back at the goal event in January. So I would say that's the first thing you want to do to boost your fourth quarter sales. We were just talking about the future. Now go back to the past. Look at what your sales goals were that you put down in January. For a lot of us who work for ourselves, for professionals and business owners, we have to create our own goals. If you're a salesperson for a corporation, odds are somebody else sets your goal, gives you a goal at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of each quarter, maybe a monthly goal, even a weekly goal. But when you work for yourself, there's nobody else to do that. So it's up to us to set our own goals. So that's one thing you should be doing every January or at the start of whatever your fiscal year is. What are your sales goals for the year? And this time of year, go back and look at them and see, okay, well, where am I in relation to that goal? We're now about two-thirds through the year. Am I two-thirds along the way to my sales goal? If yes, great. If I'm more than that, terrific. If I'm not there yet, how come? What has prevented me from achieving that goal? What has gotten in the way? What has taken up my time? What are the reasons I'm not yet two-thirds of the way to my goal?
You know, what I find surfacing in my head as I'm listening to you share those answers are that there are a lot of businesses, the fourth quarter is their big money maker, and some of them are really good about planning ahead so that they're executing flawlessly the fourth quarter. And others talk about it being their biggest quarter, and then they wait till September, and then they look around and go, okay, so what are we going to do to connect with our customers better in this fourth quarter? What kind of things can we plan so we can, you know, hit our goals? And I'm like going, oh, my gosh, gee, so why were we not doing that in July, people? You could have been great, really great social media campaigns and have them actually – What is that when they created furniture before they started doing everything with glue, the furniture makers used to actually make the pieces so that they kind of slid in together, and then boom, it was really, really strong. I forget what that technique is called. Do you know?
Tongue and groove.
Thank you, tongue and groove. You know, I'm just amazed how many times people are not thinking about, all right, so what do we want to accomplish in that space? How is it going to tie to our sales objectives? And how can we make each one of them be a tongue and groove so that it supports the next thing we want to accomplish in the next month? And then, boom, in December 31st, we've hit all of our targets.
And that's a real challenge for a lot of professionals and business owners, because a lot of us are not good at planning. I'll raise my own hand. I suck at planning. I'm a lousy planner. My mind just doesn't work that way. So I need to start with somebody else who can help me create plans for my business. Because if I don't, plans aren't going to get made and things aren't going to get done. That's why it's so important that if you're not naturally a planner, that you hire somebody like Stephanie or somebody else, somebody local in your community that can help you create the plan that you need. Because you're right. The fourth quarter is not the time to be planning your fourth quarter activities if the fourth quarter is your best sales time. If you are a catering company, if you produce events, if you're involved anyway in a seasonal type of business, you can't wait until that season to begin your efforts. That needs to be planned out 6 months, 9 months, 12 months ahead, and that requires a planning mindset. And if you don't have one, and many of us don't, then you need to get one on your team, either as an employee, as a friend or a partner, or as a consultant.
You know, that's interesting. As I'm listening to you again, what is bubbling up in my mind is it reminds me also when people will call me in and they'll say, okay, so we want to put together a viral video and we want to have a campaign go viral and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the only thing that's going to get a viral effect this last quarter is if you get the sniffles, because we should have started 3 months ago.
Exactly. And it's a common challenge for business owners and people in business who aren't owners, executives and others, is it's really hard to think far enough ahead. And very often, because we don't know what's involved in those kinds of things, we don't understand the kinds of time it takes to produce those kinds of effects. And if you sell that kind of thing, you need to make that clear to your prospects and clients that if they're trying to achieve something, and you're their key to achieving it, they need to start sooner rather than later. And that might be one of the tactics you employ this quarter. That if what you do helps your clients, but it takes 6 months to do, you let your clients know that, so that they're not putting off and putting off and putting off what they should be doing right now with you and your company.
One of the things that I think we might want to remind people, even though we're talking about year boosting year-end revenue, because you're definitely going to be able to be more focused and take some actions that will help you with that. The people who are wanting to make sure that their year starts out with a bang, that they have more sustainable sales in the first part of the year, and they want that to happen through lead generation, and they want to have that customer acquisition happen through the digital channels, that is where most people are focusing their attention now. Guess what 6 months from now is?
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to really be aware of how much time different things take. And again, the further ahead you can do your planning, the more effective you're going to be.
So if the first thing we need to do to boost our year-end sales is to be more focused and to be thinking about what kind of plan do we have to put into place, what would be the second thing we'd need to ask ourselves?
Go back and look at the plans you already made. What are the plans you made back in January, or the plans you made in July, the plans you made last year? What happened to those plans? Are those still in effect? Did they get abandoned? Were they working and got discarded? Were they not working and got discarded? Go back and review your year. Look at the last 6, 9 months and figure out, okay, what has worked, what hasn't worked. Take stock of all of your prospects. Who closed, who didn't? What sales are still in process? What sales did you give up on because there didn't seem to be any movement on them? What items are still kind of hanging? Where can you go in and possibly create some action now when there was no action 3, 4, 5 months ago?
Now, when I hear you say, pay attention or look at what sales did you give up on because they weren't moving. So if it's been a few months and something wasn't moving, what would be a good way to reactivate those conversations?
There are several ways. One is to just call them flat out and say, hi, it's been a while since we last talked. I know things have gotten stalled. I wanted to see what changes have occurred since then. Or you might send a letter, you might send an email, or you can send a gift of some sort. Send a hat or a t-shirt or a special report that you've written or anything else, anything to restart the dialogue and to give you an opportunity to talk with them to see where they are and what's happened since you've last talked.
Now, we've talked about this before, Don, and I'm just wondering, when we reach out to someone with a gift like that that we haven't talked to in a while, how is that really received? You know, because when you're thinking about it from your perspective, you're thinking, well, I'm giving them a gift. I want to reopen the conversation. But you have to think about both ends of the stick there. Is there the possibility that they'll see that as, oh, geez, you know, they're trying to see why we didn't do anything with them? Or is it more of a situation where we just need to be willing, like you said, to pick the phone up and just say, you know, so tell me what's occurred since the last time we talked. Is there benefits and downsides to trying to do it with or without a gift?
There are benefits and downsides to everything. Whatever you do, there is always a risk of it not working. I prefer to focus on the risk of it working. And that's part of the benefit of a gift, is it changes the dynamic between you and your prospect. A gift is very different from a sales call, in that sales calls tend to be viewed by the recipient as an effort to make a sale. Whereas a gift communicates a very different message. A gift communicates, hey, I was thinking about you. I wanted to give you something of value. It also stands out in the prospect's mind, because if, let's say you're my prospect, and every day in the mail you're getting bills, you're getting solicitations, you're getting all kinds of advertisements, but then you get a t-shirt. Well, that completely stands out from everything else you've gotten in the mail over the last several days or weeks. So that instantly put me in your mind in a very different way than if I had sent you a letter saying, hey, do you want to talk again? Because now you've got a t-shirt, or you have a DVD, or you've got a report that I emailed you, or something that says, hey, I was thinking about you and I wanted to give you something of value. That sends a very, very different message, and it's a very powerful way to restart the conversation. Because if nothing else, you now feel obligated to at least thank me for that gift.
You know, I'm starting to see something I haven't seen before, and it's okay. You can all laugh at or with me on this. Don, I'm starting to see some of the things that you are teaching us in sales are the same thing over in social media, but it had a different coat and jacket on it and hat on. And all of a sudden my eyes are going, well, that's the same thing as me going out and sharing something or helping someone get some attention on, whether it's a project, a Kickstarter, a blog post, you know, a radio show, whatever it is that someone's trying to get out there. And I'm like, oh, all this time I've had an opportunity to reopen the door in conversations with people and didn't recognize it. All I had to do was just tweak it, that 1%, like Tony Robbins says, and boom, there it is.
It's exactly the same. You're absolutely correct. And you're also correct in that very often we don't see the similarities between one thing we're doing and something else that we could be doing. There are similarities everywhere, but we often don't recognize those patterns. And again, that gets back to what you were saying, what Stephanie was saying, about going and looking at your habits and looking at your strategy and taking the time to free your mind from the daily grind so that you can evaluate everything you're doing and find those patterns in order to see the new possibilities.
This is kind of rolling around in my head, and I'm trying to figure out how to ask this. Well, let me just do it the plain old simple way. In this last quarter or our year end, what is one thing we just plain old shouldn't do? It's just like a really common mistake. A lot of people do it, and it's just like an absolute no.
One thing that a lot of professionals and business owners do when their sales are not where they wish they were is drop their prices. They hold some kind of a sale. They start calling people because they get desperate. They look at their calendar and think, oh, my God, I need to make some sales here because I'm way, way behind. And so they figure that dropping their price will increase their sales. That's probably the worst thing that you can do. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an inventory clearance. If you've got new stuff coming in, you have to get rid of old stuff or stuff that's not popular. That's one thing. But just dropping your prices for no good reason actually can communicate the opposite message. And rather than make your potential prospects want you more, it can make them want you less. Because now you're saying, what I was offering before was not worth what I was asking in terms of the price level. So please buy it now at this price. And that message actually hurts you. So while it's tempting to drop your price in an effort to spur sales, don't do it. Maintain your price. Find other ways to engage your prospects in order to make those year-end sales.
Now, you might get a big kick out of this, and here's what started bubbling up in my mind as you were talking about that from the social media perspective. People will tend to shift into what we call desperate behavior and asking for lots of likes and really pushing their pages hard instead of finding what is the thing that caused people to really interact with us before. Where were we hitting the mark for them, and how can we do it now? You know, what's current now, and where are the similarities so that we're taking actions that they find really valuable, and then they want to engage with us. We don't have to go, please share, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Yeah, don't beg. Offer. Don't be cheaper, be better.
What would you say, Don, and this is the interesting part about being fully present in an interview. Yes, Don gave me, here's some things you can ask, but it's like I'm not really looking at them anymore. What I'm trying to do is, as he is bringing up some really great points, in my head, in the moment, I'm looking at how does that intersect with sales and social media, and where can we give you really great advice or help point you in a direction that's going to be beneficial. That takes a little thoughtfulness. It doesn't always spring as quickly as you'd like it to. One of the things that I noticed, Don, and we started to kind of go down this earlier, down this path earlier in sales, is when people are talking about what they can or can't do in the fourth quarter, and we've talked about the disadvantages, the myths, the places that people kind of trip themselves up in, but what are some of the advantages of the end of the year or the fourth quarter? What are some of the things that actually work in our favor during that time that maybe everyone just needs a really great reminder about?
The fourth quarter is a natural time to make use of all the holidays that are there. You have all kinds of excuses to communicate with your prospects, and there are all kinds of excuses to create events and promotions and to create blog posts and videos. So there are all kinds of natural calendar-related excuses to do things. For example, you could send your prospect some kind of a back-to-school item at the beginning of September, or you could hold some kind of event where you collect donations to give to a local school in celebration of the beginning of the school year. When it comes to October, send candy out to your clients. Get a couple of bags of fun-sized candy and just pop a candy bar in a padded envelope. Send that off to your prospect. You've got a ready-made excuse. Then thank you notes to your clients in November before Thanksgiving. Send thank you notes to your prospect before they buy from you. Say, thank you for talking with us. Thank you for and trusting us enough to have a conversation. Thank you for considering us. And that gives you, again, more opportunities to be in front of your prospects and be top of mind and separate yourself from your competitors. So look at all the opportunities on the calendar to communicate, to create events, to do things that engage your prospects and help move them along that sales process to the conclusion of buying from you.
You know, it's interesting. People can see how they can do some of those things in the social media space because they naturally attach them to events. It's natural conversation openers or door openers, as I call them. But a lot of times they don't always make that transition or bridge those activities in how that can perform the same way for sales. So I love how you gave us some really great examples of what that could look like. We've talked
about... And there are other holidays as well. There are also holidays besides the big ones. In fact, every single day I tweet out some kind of a holiday because everything is something day. Every week is something week, and every month is something month. So look at those calendars. Look at Chase's calendar of events, or go online and do a search for holiday calendars or event calendars, and you'll see that every day has some kind of a built-in hook that you can use to create an event, to communicate with your clients, to write a blog post, to do something that gets your attention. September 19th, coming up, is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. And here's a way to combine all the things we've talked about so far, about having fun, about the social media, about sales. On Talk Like a Pirate Day, every year, I tweet in pirate. I do pirate tweets. I'll do a sales tip that's written in pirate lingo. So it is fun. It's holiday themed. It's still business-like and useful. So there are all kinds of ways that we can have fun in our sales efforts, make use of the opportunities we have around us in terms of these holidays in the fourth quarter, and there are ways to engage our customers and prospects in a way that makes them want to do business with us.
Well, I think what was really key in your statement there was having fun making prospects and clients want to do business with us. And I think too many times what happens, and okay, so I'm raising my hand again in authenticity over here. Ooh, this was painful. We tend to get too intellectual. We tend to get too much into our heads. We tend to want to reason and justify our way into a sale instead of thinking about, well, how can I actually make it fun for them to do business with me?
Right. I once talked with a sales manager for a boat dealership who told me about a guy that was looking at a boat, and they ended up having a conversation about dogs because they both had dogs, and they were talking about their dogs, and they talked for like half an hour about their dogs. And at the end of the conversation, the guy bought the boat. They never really talked about the boat. They talked about the dogs. And that's something we need to keep in mind, that our prospects buy from us not because we necessarily have the best product or service or the cheapest product or service, but because they like us and they trust us. They feel a connection with us. And that's one of the benefits of social media, is it helps us to create that connection. That's also the opportunity you have in your follow-up with your prospects. Use that not just to bug people, but to create more of a connection with your prospects.
And you know what I find really interesting about that, Don, is when I tell internal personnel in a company, like, for example, I went in and did some training this past month where they wanted everyone inside to understand and learn how to be on Twitter. And so I was giving, you know, IT professionals, and I was giving admin, and I was giving sales were there as well. Most people tend to want to just focus on the salespeople interacting in the social media space, when in reality, how awesome would it be if the person who handles the bookkeeping sent you a tweet, said, you have a present on the way, have a great day, because they paid your invoice.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Fun, simple, easy. crazy, generates really good feeling. You know, I think too many times we forget how important it is to try and find ways to generate good feeling. We certainly have enough bad around us. What kind of ways can we interact? Not interact. What's the word I'm looking for? I think it's just important for us to find ways where we can actually propel more good feeling activities instead of focusing and giving our attention to all of the scary stuff that's going on around us, because that can really take you down a mental path that affects everything in your business, your life, the whole nine yards.
You are absolutely correct. It's one of the things that our prophets are looking for. They're looking for hope. They're looking for confidence. They're looking for encouragement. They're looking to have positive experiences, not just neutral experiences, but positive experiences. They're looking to have fun, looking for an escape. They're looking for inspiration. So how can you provide any or all of those things to your prospects?
Well, what would you say, since we've talked about what could slow us down for the quarter, what could actually speed us up, make it faster, make it easier to increase sales in our year end?
Well, there are five ways to increase your sales. Number one, get more prospects. Number two, have a higher closing ratio. Number three, sell more expensive products or services. Number four, sell larger orders, increase the quantity of your product or service that's sold to any given prospect. And number five, to sell at higher prices. So look at that list of five items and figure out where can you get the biggest impact. Is it going to be easiest for you to find more prospects? Is it going to be easier for you to talk to your existing prospects and simply get them closed? Do you have an opportunity to upsell the prospects you're currently talking with to more expensive products and services? Is the opportunity to sell more to your existing customers? Or maybe you're just discounting too much and you need to simply keep your prices, because you can sell the same quantity of the same items but make more money if you simply discount less. So of those five options, which is going to give you the fastest return?
That means they have to actually know their customers really well.
Yes. What a concept, which too many business owners and professionals don't do. We've all been taught since birth to sell features and benefits. We're taught to pitch to our prospects, and yet the sale is not made in the pitch. The sale is made in the questions that we ask our prospects. The more you know about your prospects, the closer you get to the sale.
Don, as I'm thinking about that, and I'm noticing questions that surface more and more as I present or as I'm on a panel, and it doesn't really matter whether I'm talking about how to build a really great audience or fan base, or you know what the power is in internet radio, or even how to go from social media to sales. I'm amazed how many people are still struggling with the fact that social media makes it so much easier for you to get to know people well, to get to know them in the sense of not having to talk business all the time. So it's like, you know, here we are, say we're at a party. As a matter of fact, I went to a birthday party this Saturday, got to know a couple of people next to me that I would not ordinarily have even known because they don't go to the same networking functions that I do, yet he works at a job where he has the influence to recommend me to the person who could hire me for my services. That never would have happened had we not been willing to talk about where we grew up, where we went to school. I mean, all of those things that people use to get to know, well, you know, how are we similar? How are we different? You know, what do we have to talk about? And so when I hear people say, well, I don't understand the benefits of talking on social media, it's just a waste of time. I have more important things to do. And I'm like, how could you have more important things to do than to get to know who your customers are and what are their frustrations?
Right. Exactly. That's how a lot of entrepreneurs create their products, create their companies, is by talking to people, they find common frustrations, and they figure out a solution to those frustrations.
Well, one of the questions that I have seen surface, and it doesn't really seem to matter what time of the year, but since we are talking about year-end, let's help them figure out how to solve this now, and that is, what can we learn to close prospects that are sitting on the fence?
Understand that people don't do anything without an incentive. We don't get up in the morning without an incentive, which means if you want your prospect to buy from you, you got to give them an incentive. Now, that could be a positive incentive or it could be a negative incentive. So a positive incentive might be something like a promotion, buy now and get this bonus. A negative incentive could be if you don't buy now, prices are going to increase in the next quarter, or we have a limited supply, this is going to sell out, or we're getting busier and busier. If you don't book now, you're not going to be able to get services when you'd like to get them. So give them a reason to act. Give them some kind of incentive. What will encourage them to want to buy now? What can they get if they act now? What will they lose if they don't act now?
Do you notice whenever you're trying to pick which one of those to use, is there any rhyme or reason if positive versus negative works better, for example, products versus services?
No, it's not so much products versus services. It's positive versus negative focus. Everybody is either positively focused or negatively focused. And roughly half the population are positive and half are negative. And I don't mean negative in a negative way. Positive people are forward thinkers. They have goals. They're always moving towards something. They see the upside of everything. Negative thinkers try to stay away from harm and damage. They're looking to minimize risk. They value security. They see the downside in everything. So what matters is not what you're selling, but who you're selling to. So if you're selling to a positively focused person, you want to talk to them about the benefits of acting now, about what they're going to gain by acting now. Whereas the negatively focused person, you want to focus on what they're going to lose by not acting now. If you try to talk to a positive person about what they're going to lose if they don't act now, they won't understand it. They won't get it. And if you talk to a negatively focused person about what they'll gain by acting now, they won't get it either. And that's a challenge for us because so many of us in business are naturally positive focused. That's why we started our businesses. That's why we work for ourselves. And so it can be hard for us to understand that others don't have the same mindset that we do. And yet the fact is we all think differently. So you need to understand your prospect. Again, getting back to what you said, Michelle, you need to know your prospect. If they're a negatively focused person, you must talk to them negatively.
Well, here's a social media tip for that. Sometimes what you'll notice is most people will either tweet, post on LinkedIn, Facebook, G+, and it will appear like it's positive focus all the time. But that's because you're only looking at the ones where they're posting something specific about business. Start paying attention to the conversation. That's why I'm always telling clients, besides just using them as a megaphone, how are you actually having conversations with people in the social media space? Because it's inside those conversations that it allows you to really start to get to know who they are and what motivates them. So if, for example, I've got a client who one of the decision makers for their sales process are the IT managers and IT directors. Well, I was reminding them, you know, how are you not just following them on Twitter, but are you participating in any Twitter chats they participate? Are you paying attention to what they're tweeting? Make a list of, you know, the top 20 companies, IT people that you'd like to do business with, and pay attention to the conversations they're having and not just, you know, when they're sharing a blog post. Yeah, you're going to learn something from blog posts they share because you can start to see patterns. And don't be afraid to actually start a conversation with them. I mean, it's one of the things that we bring up on the radio show every Monday. And it goes like when I tell you guys, don't just reach out and follow us or connect with us. Ask us a question. Engage us in conversation. I tell you that for a reason because I know if you do it with us, where you already have a level of familiarity, a little bit of level of trust, you've been listening to us for a while, you know, that barrier is not so scary for you if you haven't done this before, that you'll start generating the habit of having a conversation with people in social media, and then it will help you when it really matters and you're trying to have a conversation with a prospect.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more, Michelle.
Well, as I'm thinking, because we've got about 5 or 6 more minutes, what are some areas that I did not think to bring up that we want to address so everyone feels like they at least have a really great leg up of ideas and activities and places that they can look and start examining for themselves and take smarter action for this year end?
Well, one of the best things that you can do, if you want to boost your sales at the end of the year, is get some sales training. Buy a book, buy an audio or a video program, go to a seminar somewhere. If you have a company, bring in a sales expert to train your team. We often think of training as something that's ongoing and provides future benefits, but the fact is, sales training can give you benefits immediately. I have had people leave my seminars and implement what they learned to close sales that same day. So if you're struggling with any of those 5 things I mentioned earlier, more prospects, higher closing ratio, more expensive products and services, bigger orders, or higher prices, going to a sales seminar or getting some books on sales can help you with any or all of those things. And you've got 3-4 months here at the end of the year to implement these things. So getting some sales training can improve your sales skill, your sales ability. And that's probably the most important thing that will help you boost your sales. If you want more sales, get better at selling. It provides the fastest return on your investment as well as the biggest return on your investment.
You know, what's really interesting, as I'm listening to you, I can just see the companies and the people bringing you in. I can see you in front of their teams, and I can see you guys interacting because I know what your style is like, Don, and I know how great you are about tuning in to what are people's needs versus where they think they need to go. And it reminds me of whenever I'm giving a presentation or even when I'm doing just a real simple lunch and learn with companies, I'm amazed how many people say, oh yeah, we're doing social media. And you go and you check their Facebook and their Twitter and their LinkedIn, and they're using it only as a curation of content. They're not really using it as a connection tool. And so it's kind of like when that lady goes and she puts on that really, you know, great outfit and she's got her makeup and hair all done. But when you take her home after the date and she takes off the dress, then off comes a wig, then off comes false eyelashes, then off comes a butt enhancer. I mean, you know, and I bring this up because what you've done by just using a curation schedule of tweets and maybe doing a little bit of live tweeting is you're doing the same thing as the woman who is kind of falsely advertising when she goes out on a date, because then when people really want to interact with you, they don't know who you are, because there are so many of these little things there that aren't being authentic and real. How are you using your internal team to support your sales team on social media? How is your IT person connecting with other people in their field so that they're staying at the top of their game, therefore they're delivering you the best value as an employee? Those activities in the social media space add to the bottom line. They just don't always add to the bottom line with a physical check in hand. It comes through the habits and the activities that those employees and those team members and even the consultants that you bring on deliver for you. My question is, how many people are actually thinking that big and then able to narrow down into each department so that they'll learn and use them in a way where it's really beneficial and supportive?
And I feel compelled to point out that social media gives you the opportunity to make an immediate impact on sales. It's not a guarantee, but like any other form of marketing, social media gives you the opportunity to create a huge impact almost overnight. And that's part of why you want to research, part of why you want to experiment, part of why you want to bring in a consultant like you, Michelle, to help plan and strategize social media presence, because you never know when a certain Facebook promotion is going to go crazy, or when you start doing a series of tweets, how that's going to get spread, or you write a blog post that gets shared all over the world. So there's an enormous opportunity in social media to impact your sales immediately. Again, though, that's why you want to work with somebody who knows what they're doing in order to increase your odds of that happening.
Well, and that's a really great point, Don, because too many times people want to see an instant result, but I'm just like going, what have you been doing all this time? Where have you missed opportunities and potentials because you weren't planning and executing consistently? It's the same in sales. You bet.
Right.
You could have someone on the team who needs to learn how to get better at closing. But what I've learned from you is if someone says they need help in closing, it's usually because they didn't do a very good job in discovery and qualifying.
Exactly. So very often the problems you think you're having are not the problems you actually have. So you might think that your Twitter's not working because of one issue, but it might be something else entirely. Same with your Facebook, same with your blogging, and again, same with your selling. What you think is not working may not actually be the issue.
You know, one of the things that I have a lot of fun, and I'm not sure what the equivalent is in your industry, so I'll just share what I have fun and what I do in mine, and you tell me how that works for yours. One of the things that I have so much fun doing in the digital and social media space is actually when a new client comes along that doesn't have any activity in the social space, and we start off the way you should, and that's with the audit, and we start uncovering what are other people in the industry doing or what are your competitors doing, and then we sit down and we go over that audit, and they look at that, and we discuss the challenges and the opportunities and the gaps, and they go, I had no idea. Oh, my God, I had no idea. They sit there like the V8 commercial, and they smack themselves on the head going, I had no idea. And I'm like, that's
right.
Why you have to take at least the action of finding out what's happening.
Yes. I often will do mystery shopping when I'm working with a client. So I'll go through their sales process as a customer to see what their customers experience. And it's often very, very different from what the company thinks their customers are experiencing.
You know, I can totally see how that would be really beneficial. It's funny. I'm not sure why it happens. You know, part of it is because we're human and we tend to like to think, and I don't mean this in a diminishing way, we tend to think we're better than we are. And it's not that you aren't a good person or you don't love your job or you don't love your business and you're not trying to do good, but it's like we look in the mirror and we don't really see a true reflection of what everyone else is experiencing.
Yep. What we believe we do and what we actually do are often very different things.
So what's a good way for us to end our conversation today that's encouraging and uplifting and lets them know that they can have fun in their year end with sales and social media?
How about a free gift? Because I could talk on the subject for hours and not scratch the surface. I have a free special report entitled 10 Ways to Increase Your Sales Right Now. And I'll send you the link, Michelle, so you can put it on the framing post at whoismichelleprice.com. And listeners can download it free of charge. They don't need to give me their email address. They don't need to give me anything, nothing whatsoever.
That sounds awesome. And now you've got me thinking about I should have something like that for people, and I don't. I guess because we do something really big every week here on the radio show, but all right, so here goes my darn arm in the air. I promise to create you something this week.
There you go. And that might be something that you do, is think of what can you create here in the next 3-4 months, in this fourth quarter, what can you create that will be brand new for your prospects and customers? What can you create as a gift, as a new product, as a new service? What can you generate? This is a great time for creation. It's always a great time for creation. So think about what you can create that you can give away or you can sell or do something else. Or what can you support? A friend of mine told me about an initiative that he's doing in Afghanistan with some students out there. And I'm excited to learn more about it. I'll be promoting it in the next couple of months because I'm really excited by it myself. I haven't created it, but I'm going to support it. Now, I don't know if it'll help my sales or not, but that's not the point. I'm doing it because it's something that I want to do. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exhilarating. It's going to be inspiring. And if it helps my sales, even better. So focus on what can you do that adds value to your prospects, to your customers, to your family, to yourself, to your community. When you focus on adding value, creating value, people buy more from you.
And I would add to that, who could you go out and actually promote, share, or talk about who they are and what they do in the social space, and let that be your pay it forward for the week. You'd be absolutely amazed. And here's what I'm noticing. Gosh, we've got to stop having so many authentic moments here on this show, because now I just had a huge aha. I used to do that every Monday morning, and I have been slipping up. So number one, I apologize for that. Number two, I'm going to start doing more of it. I'm going to get back into that habit on Mondays. But what are you going to do with that today, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes in the social channels? It gives people an opportunity to see who you care for, what stimulates your thoughts, what stimulates your actions. It lets people know a little bit about who you are, and you have no idea what kind of conversation it'll start. Because what happens when conversations start? People start to get to know you. When people start to get to know you, they like you. When they like you, they trust you. And when they know, like, and trust you, Don, what do?
They do not buy it from you. They run the other direction.
You are so funny. What's going to do with you? Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been really fun, and I'm glad we do this every so often when we come and we talk about the whole sales and social media, because I notice that we get some really interesting conversations out of it. And it's funny because not all of them happen in the social space. So here's something else for you, Dawn, just to give you the feedback, but for listeners too. You can have conversations in the social space and people will notice it, but they may not interact with you there. You have no idea how many times I will be at a function here. For example, I was at something over at Start the other day, and someone came up to me and said, "Are you Michelle Price?" And I said, "Yes." She says, "I've been following you for years. I love your Twitter feed." And she started listing off all these things that she liked about my Twitter feed. And I said, "What's your Twitter handle?" And she's like, "Oh, I never talk to you there. I just listen to you." And I was like, lesson learned. Still has a profound effect. Doesn't necessarily mean that we have a conversation with one another. And she started introducing me to people that night and letting them know all these really cool things that she liked about me, which lowered everyone's guard and their barriers so that we could get to know one another. How cool is that?
Amazing.
Well, Dawn, thank you so much. I can't wait to hear what you are going to bring us on the first Monday of October, because then we're really in our countdown for our year end.
Looking forward to it, Michelle.